A short while ago, I spoke with the pianist Simona Dennerstein about her new album, which is called An American Mosaic. It pays tribute to the many heroes of the pandemic. The music is by the esteemed composer Richard Danielpour, and I'm pleased to say that I've got him now on the phone joining me. Welcome.
Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's great that you were able to make a little bit of time to tell us your side of the story, as it were. Simona shared a little bit of the remarkable story behind this music, but I wonder if you could go back a year, back to April of 2020, and tell us how this came to be.
Well, it was really, in retrospect, really remarkable, because around the end of March, beginning of April, when the pandemic reared its ugly head here in Los Angeles, where I live, I was told by my pulmonologist, who's an extraordinary doctor, Andrew Schroeder is his name, that I would have to be extremely careful being asthmatic because my chances of surviving COVID with my asthma were about 30%.
Wow.
And dealing with this reality, I did not sleep for the months of April and May. I barely went outside. I was in a 45-day quarantine from the beginning of April to the middle of May. And it was a dark time and a frightening time, and also a very sad time, because reading the New York Times every day, I was seeing how many people were dying all over the country.
Yeah.
And I would go to sleep at 11 p.m. and wake up at 2 a.m., not going, being able to go back to sleep. And in that period of time, I actually wrote an opera libretto, which I'm working on right now. Just to keep myself from feeling terrorized, you know?
Yeah.
It's a dark comedy with a tender ending. But the only thing that was able to finally get me to sleep around the hour of 5 a.m. so I could sleep for three more hours was Simona Dinnerstein's recordings of Bach, and mainly the Goldberg Variations, which were actually written for an insomniac, amazingly enough.
Yeah.
And she helped me get into that alpha state, and I would fall asleep into one of the variations, you know. But in that time, I got to know every one of her recordings and found this extraordinary tenderness. And, you know how when you go to a great restaurant, you can taste the love in the food?
Yeah, yeah.
It's as if I could hear the love in her sound. And so after realizing that no amount of medication, by the way, would do the trick to get me back to sleep, only her music was able to help me. And so I called the director of the Oregon Bach Festival, Michael Anderson, just simply to let him know that I was aware that Simona had been at OBF the day after The Passion of Yeshua had premiered in July of 2018.
Hmm.
And that I wanted to see if he would give me her email so I could thank her. And then he said, of course, after a few exchanges, he said, by the way, what are you working on? And I said, well, I just finished this opera libretto, but I've had this idea for a massive hour, almost hour-long piece of music that would be about 15 movements that would basically pay tribute to the heroes of this crisis we're in the middle of, and honor, you know, those who've struggled and prevailed and in many cases not made it. And I want to have this aired in December when my doctor is telling me that the country will be at its lowest point to give people comfort.
Yeah.
And I said, I just have to find the right pianist. And he said, after a long silence, he said, well, what about Simona? And of course, to me, she was this goddess from Brooklyn who had literally saved me from being in the hospital. And I hadn't even considered her, but I wrote her a fan letter immediately after that.
Hmm.
And she answered me back. We set up a FaceTime chat, and I said at the end of thanking her, oh, by the way, I have this idea in my letter. And I said, would you like to talk about it? And she said, absolutely. So we set up a FaceTime. She loved the idea. She had admitted to me that she had not been playing very much because she'd been so despondent. And a week later, the Oregon Bach Festival themselves commissioned the work.
Wow.
So that was my summer project. And then, of course, what happened is when I finished it on August 5th, I started it on the beginning of June, finished it on August 5th, and then realized it was only 52 minutes long. And that it was not quite long enough for a concert or a CD. So Simona asked me if I would write three Bach transcriptions of my choice. She said, Bach is what brought us together. It makes total sense for us to complete the CD with three transcriptions, just maybe a chorale, maybe something else, maybe an aria. And I chose a chorale from the Matthew Passion, an aria from the B minor Mass, the Agnus Dei, and the epilogue of the St. Matthew Passion, which she told me to this day she thought was an incredibly gutsy thing to do. But of course, the St. Matthew Passion was the piece that, when I heard it at 17, made me know I was going to be a composer.
Oh.
So I went back to my true roots.
Yeah.
And the result is that, you know, this recording that Supertrain Records released on March 26th has actually had 2 million streams on Apple Music.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, as you know, for classical music, rather unusual.
Well, I'm not surprised, because I've heard from several listeners who have it on their playlist, and they may not know each and every category of hero that you have named in this music, but they can feel it, and they can feel the sense of hope and the sense of, you know, to quote your own program notes, the light at the end of the extraordinarily dark tunnel when they listen to it. So I think, in a way, your music has extended what it was that you received from Bach and from Simona's recording of Bach, and brought it to the world under this context of what we've been suffering now. I'm wondering, you know, a lot of states are lifting their restrictions as we speak, and are you seeing light at the end of this tunnel?
Yes, you know, I mean, there are a couple of really great things that have happened here in Los Angeles. We've gone from being high risk to moderate risk, which means we've got about 2.6 infections for every 100,000 people in LA, and that is good because there are nearly 10 million people who live in greater Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So we're getting about 200 infections a day, which is about what we had at the end of March last year, you see. There is about 40% of the population in Los Angeles and in California itself that are fully vaccinated, which is great news.
Yeah.
I have to be in France. I was originally going to leave on the 2nd. I decided to delay it a while for a few days, because the French government was only allowing totally, completely vaccinated non-EU citizens to enter their borders from a certain date. So I actually had to change my plane reservation, but the good news is that I was okay. And I'm going to be working on my opera, and I have a premiere at a festival in eastern France near the Swiss border of a piece that I wrote at the very beginning of 2019, before the pandemic, called Canti della Natura, which is a setting of the 12 sonnets that Antonio Vivaldi himself wrote to accompany his Four Seasons cycle.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah.
That's being premiered on July 2nd and 3rd. The other thing that's really exciting is that I'm coming back at the, I come back in July, but then I go again to Rome in September. What's really wonderful about that is that in addition to judging a competition that Yamaha sponsors in Cremona and producing a recording for this wonderful pianist, Stefano Greco, who's recording my etudes, and my piano fantasy, the Vatican has become somewhat interested in the Passion of Yeshua. Oh. I'm meeting with the Bishop of Assisi about the same thing while I'm there. And then to top it all off, Orchestra della Toscana, which is probably the second most important orchestra in Italy, has commissioned me to write a piece for the 500th anniversary of Dante's birth, which I just finished this morning. It's called Voci del Purgatorio, Voices from Purgatory. And they said to me I could write a movement. They're commissioning three composers, one Italian, one European, and one American. And they said, you can choose either, you know, Inferno, Purgatorio, or Paradiso. I said, I'll take Purgatorio. And they said, why? I said, because that's the way I've been living for the last 13 months.
Makes sense. But it's great to hear that all of these things are bouncing back and happening. I mean, frankly, I've talked with a lot of composers and performers over this past year, and their stories have, you know, been pretty dour with the pandemic. In the short time that we have left, I wonder if we can just talk about the music of an American mosaic a little bit.
Sure.
You mentioned Bach and the three Bach transcriptions you did. There's sort of a shadow of Bach kind of hovering over this whole piece.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's hard for me to... I don't think that way because Bach has always been with me, you know?
Mm, yeah.
He's at the foundation of everything I've ever done. So in that respect, maybe because I was listening to Bach, you know, consistently every early morning for 2 months, perhaps some of that seeped in a little more. You know, the fact that there's a two-part invention and a three-part fugue probably is good evidence of that. But I think there's a lot more than just that, you know?
Yeah. How did you select and delineate who you wanted to talk about and how you grouped them together? I mean, what came to mind when you thought of the heroes of the pandemic?
A lot of it came from reading the New York Times, to be honest with you. But you know, the thing that a lot of people don't understand about composers is that when you're in the zone, and you know what I mean by that, because you probably know this from hearing it from sports, from people who are athletes. When you're in the zone, your sense is heightened about things. And you don't reach for the music and you don't reach for the ideas. The ideas come to you, right? I tell my students at UCLA, do not reach for the music. Do not try to will the music into being. Surrender yourself, become empty, and allow yourself to receive what feels true. And that's how I wrote this. I mean, you know, there's no way a normal human being could write this piece in, what was it? It was something like 60 days, you know? There's no way a person could write this in a 52-minute work in 60 days unless they were in a particular place of receiving it on some other kind of creative subconscious level. You know, I believe that Mozart lived in that place 24/7. Mm. The rest of us just visit that place.
View it from afar.
Bach and Mozart were 24/7 hooked into their unconscious, you know, but we visit it. The rest of us just visit it, you know. And if you practice it long enough, you become a good visitor.
Yeah. I'm struck by some of the choices that you did make as far as the people that you canonize in this work. You also have a nod here to the Black Lives Matter movement with prophets and martyrs. And when I first looked at it, it took me a minute to figure out that that's what that was about. In fact, I think it was Simona that pointed that out to me. But it's not just, you know, your usual suspects like the research physicians or the teachers or the students. You also venture into, you know, touching on politics with the visible enemy and
no kidding. And I was hoping you'd bring that up.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. That's very important to me because I felt that this very dark time we were going through in the pandemic had its actual physical manifestation in the Trump administration. I felt that the Trump administration was the second greatest disease after the pandemic itself in our country. And I felt that it was a moral disease that had to be eradicated in much the same way that the pandemic needed to be eradicated. The damage that that man and his administration has done will take a decade to clean up. And these pigs that continue to support him in Congress and in your state, by the way, are going to pay a very, very hefty price for basically tying their little tugboats to a sinking ship. Because he's going to be spending the rest of his life, I think, fighting to stay out of jail. He's going to be spending the rest of his life in court. You know, the idea of considering them their leader is not only ridiculous, but it's frankly stupid. And I feel that there was a mirror between the actual disease that we were dealing with, the virus that we were dealing with, and the virus that existed in Washington. So the visible enemy is about the Trump administration, including all of those other people who were tied to him, you know, including, you know, his staff and his attorney general, who is one of the most odious people I think has ever occupied this office. I mean, these are terrible, terrible people, you know, but I think also, on top of all that, you know, that there was a connection on some level that we don't understand between, you know, between the political darkness, which, and by the way, you know, I don't like talking about politics normally, but there's a point at which a political issue crosses a line and becomes a humanitarian issue, and that's where you'll find me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have the visible enemy and then the invisible enemy, which is the virus itself.
Which is about the virus itself,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's sort of in the middle of the piece, and in between those two movements you have a movement called An Elegy for Our Time. Can you put that into words for us?
That's one of my favorite movements, and it's one of the very few that I feel can be extracted as a standalone piece, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That one cost me a lot of sweat and tears. It's extremely tender. It's an extremely tender piece of music. And, you know, it's really a memorial to those who perished, who innocently perished from this terrible, terrible thing. The other one that I like very much is Doctors and Interns, which is the piece that I actually dedicated to my doctor.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are so surprised at how gentle it sounds. But, you know, what was sort of in the back burner of my mind as I was writing this was just simply the compassion and the sadness that these MDs themselves were enduring while they were going through all of this. I saw my own doctor, who was watching me like a hawk, completely just stretched to his limit, you know? And that's why I dedicated it to him as a way of thanking him for caring for me, but also I dedicated it to him because I knew how much he also suffered and how much all of the doctors in this country have suffered watching people die. It's not an easy thing to do.
I've been talking with the composer Richard Daniel Poor, who has written An American Mosaic, a 15-movement piano work for the pianist Simona Dinnerstein. And also on this recording, 3 Bach transcriptions. You can find that online at our website. We'll link to all of that, including Richard's website. That's at WGTE.org. We will link to it. Richard Daniel Poor, thank you so much for spending time and talking about this music here on FM 91.
It's been a pleasure, Brad. Thank you so much.